Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Okay, it is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. 855-839-1210. That's the number you'll want to use. A lot of stuff breaking right now. We're watching the Epstein issue, and we'll be on it tomorrow. Alan Dershowitz was the attorney for Epstein, and you may remember he sued some people. There's been a lot of back and forth with Dershowitz over that whole thing. We'll talk with him straight up at noon tomorrow when we might have more clarity of what's going to be released. Bill O'Reilly will be here at 12:15. He's got a whole new stage act going on, but of course, he's my conduit to President Trump and what the president's thinking, second to none. And he's got this stage show, if you can imagine, Stephen A. Smith, Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, and O'Reilly. And it'll be coming to our area. All right. The thing I want to start off with, though, is RFK Jr. and the measles thing. And I'll just ask you straight up, 855-839-1210, where you are on this. Now, the New York Post goes a little bit wild here, going after him and saying he ought to head to Texas right away. We have one death and more cases around this, and say that the measles vaccine, as far as he's concerned, is acceptable, as I think it is, and I think he's, in his testimony, made that point. So I'm fine with him probing some of the things he talked about, but unclear, is it because people are feeling in Texas, you don't need this anymore because RFK Jr. is there? I do think it would go a long way of him solidifying exactly what he promised. Remember, my high hopes for him is on the food side, big time. But I think he should go. The New York Post editorial says he ought to go and show he's not a crank. So I want your immediate response here, right at the top, 855-839-1210. You know, New York Post a little bit overboard. I think he posted something on this. I know he's looking at the schedule of vaccinations and how all that plays out. That's certainly fine. That's an area to probe, without a doubt. But I don't want to see this start to be the story here. Now, you know, I realize how our minds, based upon what happened with COVID, the mandatory nature, the side effects, Pfizer, the cover-ups. But I don't know that the measles vaccine is an issue. And we see some of the consequences of this. So I think rather than being a challenge, this is an opportunity for Kennedy to jump in and say, you know how I am. I'm going to be probing vaccines along with everything else. But the measles vaccine is safe. And it's something that parents should be involved in. Are you okay with that? Or is that seemingly compromising some kind of stance on vaccines? I don't think it is. I think it's a more nuanced position. Now, as far as the DOGE stuff, which is just gets more unbelievable every day, Kimberly Strassel, writing at the Wall Street Journal today, she's brilliant. You've seen her on Fox and other places many times. She lays it out. We do pay dead people. She writes a long column showing how what happens is if people die, Social Security may know that. They don't report it to Treasury. And she makes the point that we could be saving $500 billion or $1 trillion a year. It's hard to tell just on waste, fraud, and abuse like this. She says, consider the staggering scope of the checks that continue to flow to deceased people in the absence of the data not going to Treasury. Checks to pay heating oil costs, housing subsidies, disability insurance, pensions, farming subsidies, Medicaid, Medicare, disaster aid, veterans benefits, food assistance, to name a few. Why doesn't Treasury have the right access to this info so that they can stop these payments? In other words, if Elon Musk is flying around with this stuff and saying it, not as precisely maybe as you'd like, it's still true. It's true that this is going on. And we don't even know the extent of it. And she's a very sober, straightforward Wall Street Journal. She guesstimates past $500 billion. Right there, that is a huge, huge saving that this indeed is happening. Now, something you might not hear anywhere else, Penn Ridge School District, I don't know what they're doing intentionally or not, but I definitely like this. And suddenly, the world is coming after them. PhillyBurbs.com reports that the Penn Ridge School District is requiring parents to submit student enrollment records that the officials, they say, have no legal right to demand, including paperwork that undocumented immigrants would not possess. Parents who want to enroll their children in Penn Ridge School District must supply a copy of a student's original state-sealed birth certificate or a passport to demonstrate his or her age. They must upload their own Pennsylvania-issued photo identification or a U.S. passport to the registration portal. The paper, Philly Burb says, however, an undocumented immigrant would not have access to a driver's license, state-issued photo ID, or passport. And kids born outside the United States might not have proofs of age listed by the district. So here's this district. And this district is going down this path of saying they're not doing anything wrong. I don't think they are. And I think here's what we're going to see due to what's happening as we go after illegal criminal aliens. You're going to see more and more situations where if you're here illegally, it's going to be more uncomfortable. And it should be uncomfortable if you're here illegally. Is there anything wrong with that? Within the laws. Of course, the ACLU and others are going after this school district hammer and tong. In other words, the bottom line is that it was looked at, you're not allowed to have any discomfort if you're here illegally. Biden administration was bringing in more people every day. Well, now it is more uncomfortable. You don't know what's going to happen with this. So not only should we allow people to be here illegally, but constantly we're going to be warned about anything that might make them feel a bit uncomfortable. That's all that I see going on in Pembridge. I'm not exactly sure why they're doing this and where this leads. But it does appear to me that this is not a big deal, shouldn't be a big deal. But of course, ACLU and others coming after them big time. And we'll see if they have to remove these requirements, or are they requirements, that are going on. Right here in our backyard, you're seeing a perfect example of this. The Philadelphia Public Schools, they have another big thing, big meeting tonight. They want even more so-called safeguards against ICE in the schools. That's ratcheting up. Okay, one more thing, and then Bill O'Reilly will be here. We talked a lot in the last week, since last Thursday, Friday. It's been a heck of a week on this. On the Doge dollars, on all this money being saved, etc. So I dug this out post the Republican budget. Rand Paul, who's one of the few people, I wouldn't say he's the only one, in Congress that is serious about actually cutting the deficit, not coming up with more and more excuses as it continues to grow and trying to tell us, well, they're slowing the growth of it. He had an amendment to cut spending by at least $1.5 trillion. Now we're dealing with real money here. That was voted down during that Senate budget. Every Democrat voted against it. It was voted down 24 to 76. 76 voted against it, 24 for it. People like Marsha Blackburn, who talks a good game from Tennessee, she voted against it. And I'm looking at this with Rand Paul and all that he tried to do recently. And it seems to me that it's a perfect example why I think we should get some of that money back ourselves. I don't trust them. I don't trust them that they're going to be doing this. You're asking the average American to continue to sacrifice. They couldn't even find a way to agree with Rand Paul on at least some of this. They're not serious about this. They keep spinning it, and they keep growing the deficit. Or at best, if the deficit's not growing, they're not going to cut it by anything substantial. So why are we told the world's going to end if the average American would get that $5,000 back that we talked about? All right, Bill O'Reilly's been moved back to 12:30. I'm not sure if he's working on the Epstein case or not. But let me give you the side question, then, and off we go on this. Gene Hackman was one of my favorite actors. And once we did a side question about all-time great character actors, I would say he was never a leading man per se in anything. Character actors could be in hundreds of films, and they could be as recognizable, maybe even more so than a leading man, okay? So in his honor today, what I thought, and Henry, do we have that ready to go here, the Hoosiers cut? Yeah, okay, all right. The Hoosiers and the scene in the French Connection, I know there are great chase scenes out there. For my money, in under the train in New York, giving chase to one of the cohorts of the French there with the French Connection, that's as good as it gets. The stuff that Hackman's Popeye Doyle does. So in his honor, and I went back and looked at various voting of the top 100 scenes in film history. Some of mine are not on there. Some of them are. Give us that all-time scene, just a scene in a film. Now, we were all set to do the Epstein thing, David, a great side question. But until it breaks, we'll do it tomorrow and with the death of Hackman, his wife, and the dog. Here is the scene from Hoosiers. It's not listed in the top 100. I like it because I love sports, and this is a sports movie. He won the Academy Award for it. It's a great film, and it's just such a moment when they're gathered in a huddle against a big team. I always thought it was Oscar Robertson's high school. It may or may not have been. And they got to get this basket to win. The other team is on paper better than them. But they have Jimmy, and they play together ferociously. So the coach says, we're going to trick them. We're going to do something different here. They'll think Jimmy is going to shoot. We're going to trick them. Here's how it sounds.
All right, listen up, listen up. Here's what we're going to do. Jimmy, they're going to be expecting you to take the last shot. We're going to use you as a decoy. Buddy, you get the ball, give it to Merle on the picket fence. He's going to take the last shot. All right, let's go. What's the matter with you guys? What's the matter with you?
I'll make it.
All right. Buddy, get the ball to Jimmy, top of the key. Rest of it, spread the floor. Let's go.
Yeah, of course. You dance with who brung you. Of course Jimmy's going to shoot the ball. I got, you think of any sport like this, and I got the all-timer here. I got Steph Curry, and you say, hey, we're going to fool them. I'm going to let Dom Giordano shoot the ball here. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. They won't be expecting that. Just a great scene. Of course, I told you the French Connection. So we want a scene. I have some others written down. Of course, I'll take off the board Jack Nicholson. And it's not you can't handle the truth. It's when he admits that he ordered to code red. That's more than you can't handle it. No, it's the code red moment. And even Tom Cruise as a punk is good in that. I got to say, Cruise plays himself
did
in that.
Job. Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did.
Yes. More than I know everybody goes can't handle the. It's when he explodes finally. Yes, I did it. What are you going to do about it? You know? Oh, God, the tension. Those guys had to be exhausted after that. I'm going to take the opening scene, and it's long, of Saving Private Ryan off. It's the one scene where I said it's not gratuitous to have a lot of cursing, you know, with what's going on. And the guy walking around with one arm, just walking in circles there. I think he might be on fire, too. What happened? Storming the beach in Normandy. In human history, it's hard to believe they were able to do that. It's just one of the greatest feats imaginable. All right, Henry, do you have one?
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I think that scene from Network, right off the... I mean, because you took Jack Nicholson away from me, so I went with the next best thing. What's one of my all-time favorite
Explosive.
Movies? Network, that movie, that quote, that got me feeling some type of way. So, yeah, I'm going to take I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore from Network.
Okay, absolutely. So we're looking for a scene, and if you acted a little bit, you lapse into it, so much the better. In honor of Gene Hackman... I don't think there's only 3, 4, 5 films of Hackman. I know he played villains pretty well. Is Mississippi Burning? If you haven't seen that, Hackman plays the FBI going south during the civil rights thing. He's brilliant in that, particularly with some rough guys. They don't want to mess with him. They're crying that he's there.
Yeah. I got to watch a Hackman movie tonight. What do you think I should watch?
Well, what have you
I'm thinking
seen?
Between the French Connection.
It's a French Connection.
Conversation. And then maybe, Mississippi Burning would be the other one.
Yeah, Popeye Doyle. Just a character. Just the whole thing with Schneider.
French Connection it is. All right.
Do you pick your toes in Poughkeepsie? How they came up with that. And the chase scene. But
always hear about the chase scene.
Hoosiers is so uplifting. And they did it so brilliantly. That the coach, it shows great coaching there, that he was going to try to trick them. And they look at him like, are you kidding me? Jimmy's a killer. Jimmy's just standing there waiting. His fingers are itching.
I had a gym teacher showed us this movie back in the day. I think the stat was in the whole movie, I think he only misses 2 shots.
Yeah, and Jimmy doesn't miss.
And one of them's in the dirt pit when he goes to try and talk to him into playing on the team. That's the only time he misses the shot.
That's true. Yeah, well, Jimmy doesn't miss. All right, 855-839-1210. You can get in with all that. Bill O'Reilly here at 1230. Tomorrow we'll talk with Alan Dershowitz, and he leads off. He's been suing people. There have been back and forth with that over the Epstein file. If it drops, we'll be ready to go. We're waiting just like you are to see who's in this. This is one of the most anticipated ever and might come down any time. All right, 855-839-1210. All right.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going on.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Giordano Show. What film is that from, Henry?
This is The French Connection.
Ah, okay. French Connection 2 is okay, but, you know, loses. Somebody sent me, they said their favorite scene. You have the French guys, exotic foods in the hotel. It's freezing out. Popeye Doyle has soggy coffee and this pizza that flops that he's standing there eating, trying to keep his eye on them on the outside in freezing weather. So that's a side question today. Hit us with that all-time scene. Since I think these scenes are just unbelievable. Somebody sent me a note, too, and said about this measles thing in Texas. Could it be these are people coming across the border? I've come across the border and they're unvaccinated. And that always is one of my concerns, Biden years. People coming into the country where it's not as rigorous about various diseases of one form or another. You see outbreaks. We've seen that. That would be interesting. I think Kennedy ought to address it, though. I think he can make a point about what he wants to do around vaccines versus what's being imputed to him by the New York Post today. What would be wrong with that? What would be the problem with doing that? I think it gives him an opportunity here. All right. Now, talk about an opportunity. Tulsi Gabbard jumps into it. This is amazing that the Biden intelligence people did not tell the current crop, Tulsi and others, about this deal, a secret deal with the UK to be able to extract secret Apple data. She said she was not informed in advance about the UK government's demand to be able to access Apple customers' encrypted data from anywhere in the world. It's shocking. Earlier this year, the UK government asked for the right to see the data, which currently not even Apple can access. The tech giant last week took the unprecedented step of removing its highest level data security tool from customers in the UK. Gabbard said she was seeking further information from the FBI and other U.S. agencies and said if the reports were true, the U.K. government's actions amounted to an egregious violation of U.S. citizens' privacy. All right. She was also seeking legal advice over whether the U.K. had breached an agreement between it and the U.S. not to demand data belonging to each other's citizens. I mean, this is, look. We know the difficulties that we faced in this country around national security, around spying on Americans, that whole thing. But here, a secretive deal with the UK to be able to do this. And I don't know how complicit Apple was in this, what their role is. It's the Biden administration. It's Great Britain. And Gabbard is all over it. So this is her value. I mean, this is an area where she will get to the bottom of this and make some broader points about protecting privacy, about protecting American citizens. On the face of it, it seems almost hard to believe that they would agree to this. But based upon what I've seen this morning, there's a lot of evidence around that. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all that you have to do is just push #1210 and we'll get you on board. Side question, give us that movie scene. You may want to dabble in a little bit of it yourself. And in honor of the great Gene Hackman, we don't know anything more yet around this on Twitter. Look, there's a big upside to Twitter. It's a big platform. Downside, it gets in the sewer. I see people on Twitter, oh, it's the Epstein effect. These people are suddenly dead. I mean, yes, Rambo, I wrote it down, the stuff that, that somehow or another it's connected to Epstein. This is the mentality that's out there that feeds on this stuff. It's bad enough. He's dead, the wife, the dog. Maybe carbon monoxide poisoning.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, that's the obvious where this points. Oh, no, they should have been in witness protection. Watch how many people die now because of the Epstein file. You know, with Epstein, I think it's a fair bet that he was killed. I don't think that's conspiratorial at all, or maybe slightly. Henry, do you think he was killed?
Epstein? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't know about absolute, so we don't have quite the evidence on that. But yeah, it's a fair point. You don't have to be too conspiratorial to think he was killed, given everything. But to link the death of Gene Hackman, I mean...
Yeah, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, it is. That's what's going on. Now, the reason, think of the players that are involved. They're big-time players, royal family, Bill Clinton, all kinds of people. All right, the great Bill O'Reilly is in the on-deck circle, and we will talk to Bill about this stage show thing he has going on and his book that includes Putin. And what has President Trump talked to him about recently, as much as he can tell us? All straight ahead with Dom here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, what a day to have him on. Any day is a great day here on the Dom Show when we have Bill O'Reilly joins us here in Philadelphia on Talk Radio 1210. Bill, welcome back. And you never seem to get tired. Another stage show. That's what I'm really interested in.
Yeah, I know. I'm absolutely out of my mind. You know, I noticed you had an O'Reilly Auto Parts spot just before. My son, who's graduating from college in May, when people ask him, are you the inevitable question, he goes, no, I'm O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh,
that's
God.
His fallback position. Very funny. But I'm glad you're doing well, because that's a frontline sponsor there, Giordano. Very good.
Yeah, O'Reilly. Is that the son, you told us at one of the events you came here, Sean Connery, and you even imitated him? The kid who wants to be an actor, and he said it's all in the dance.
Yeah, but now he's going to be president of the United States, so he's changed. And
okay. Well,
he's going to go to Georgetown grad school and on his way.
All right, but then you'll attack him as he rises in the political field to help him, probably.
I have to be honest, covering him, and I told him that. If he's going to be a pinhead, I'm calling him out.
So, Bill, I feel sorry for Chris Cuomo. O'Reilly on one side and Stephen A. Smith on the other. What's the theme of this? Whatever the three of you cook up that night?
No, it's more disciplined than that. This is an experiment. It's my production company. As you know, we produce the Trump O'Reilly History Tour.
Yes.
We produce the Miller O'Reilly shows all over the country. So I decided to say, can I meld three different audiences? African-American audience, liberal white, traditional white, because I know Smith and Cuomo pretty well, and they're good guys, and it's going to be a fabulous show. Anybody in Philadelphia area, Southern Jersey, it's worth the ride up here on a Sunday, because you're not going to get hammered by traffic. You'll be able to cruise right up the turnpike, go over the GW, and you'll be into Westbury in an hour, probably an hour and 45, but anyway, the show is going to be funny. It's going to be four topics. Topics of the day where everybody's emotionally involved. And then we're going to kick it around. And then we're going to take a short break so Cuomo can get some ether or whatever he's going to need to revive him. And then we're going to have Q&A by the audience. So it's really going to be a blast. And the tickets are at BillO'Reilly.com. I'll link you right over. ThreeAmericansLive.com. That's the name of the tour, Three Americans. Or you go to Westbury Music Fair, the theater itself. So, and I'm not sure it's going to work because it's the first time it's ever been done. We have never had a live show with this kind of, different points of view, trying to get all three audiences into a building. what we have now, Dom, and you know this better than anyone because you do it every day, people only want to hear what makes them happy. They don't want to hear opposing points of view anymore. So I made my name on the O'Reilly Factor by robust debate. I brought in everybody I could bring in from the other side. You watch Fox now, it's all the same. The toughest question is, tell me more. I mean, you know, it's the same. Here they are, the lineup of right-wingers coming on in. Same thing on CNN. CNN is a token guy, you know. And on the 5 at Fox, they have a token Democrat. But it's 90% telling people what makes them happy. It's really interesting to watch. So we used to be a country that loved debate, spirited debate, but now we're not. And I'm trying to revive it, but I don't know whether I'm going to be successful.
Well, that gets to the point, though. Do we get this in Philadelphia, or is this like the off-Broadway trying it out, then it goes on tour?
Well, I don't know yet, Owen, okay. Because we have to see how the first show goes. But I'm shooting it, too.
Ah, okay.
I'm filming it because it would play on television, I have no doubt. But to have people come out, I've heard people go, I'd like to go, but I hate Cuomo. And then other people go, well, I'd like to see Cuomo, but I hate O'Reilly. You know?
Yes, yeah.
It's like, it would like being the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Mets in a split squad game together.
Right.
No, I hate the Mets. I'm not,
exactly.
You know.
Well, do me a favor.
That's what it is.
Remind Stephen A. Smith. Now, he's so big time, he won't remember. There's a guy named Lou Tilley. He did a national sports cast, and I was buddies with him in those sports. He had me debate Stephen A. Smith on basketball, which is his prime sport, and he was very gracious about it. I thought this was going to be like an O'Reilly, Araldo or something over the tables. It was not. It was really good.
Well, when we take the stage on March 30th, Sunday, 3 p.m. on Long Island, the first thing I said to them is, this has to be entertaining. It can't be making people squirm. We can't be trying to one-up each other. There can't be any F-bombs, any of that. We're not
right.
Doing that, okay? Everybody's going to put forth their argument fairly briefly. And I'm the traffic
Wait a minute, though. I don't see that. You're the traffic cop, and fairly briefly
right.
Here. Oh, come on.
No,
I'm going to put the clock on this.
I'm going to discipline it. So you got to make your point in 2 minutes,
Then
the other guys will say yes or no, and here's
okay.
Why. You know, it's not going to be some lecture droning on and on. And all three of us understand what it is. And the audience is going to be surprised because both Cuomo and Stephen A., and I've been on television. I don't know whether you've seen the three of us on TV on News Nation.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yep, I have. Sure.
They have both moderated their positions because the Biden administration was such a disaster, so bad for every single American, and Kamala obviously carried that water, that both of them can't justify it. And so they don't even try anymore. Now, are they big Trump fans? No. But it's not, I'm going to hate everything that Trump does. That's gone. It's best argument wins about this. So I'm sure Putin is going to find his way in there. And as you know, I mean, I got Putin on my upcoming book, Running Evil. There's Vlad. He's right in the middle of the cover.
Yeah, so let me ask you, your conversations with Trump then. Does Trump see it with Putin? He can do some business deal. This I have to say, the Ukraine deal, if it's solid, and it looks to be, Trump may have found something that's going to move this forward to get a ceasefire with the rare minerals and all that, whether it fully works out or not. Do you agree?
Look, from the very beginning, I told you and everybody else, and if you go to BillO'Reilly.com, and I know you do, you saw my columns and my analysis, that Donald Trump wants a deal. And he understands he's not going to get the deal if he criticizes Putin. So he's got to be accommodating to Putin and then kind of disparage Putin's enemies to get him to the table. So last night on News Nation, Cuomo's going, well, I don't understand it. And I said, what don't you understand? Putin is not going to make a deal unless he believes it's good for Putin. Trump knows that, and Trump has no leverage because no one's going to confront Vlad on the battlefield. Putin knows that. Putin can keep this thing up ad infinitum, killing hundreds of thousands of people. The only way to stop it is to get him to the negotiating table. Do you realize that Putin would even take Biden's calls? He was that disrespectful?
Mm-hmm.
Lavrov would not even pick up the phone to talk to Biden's guys. So Trump comes in and says, look, I know what I'm up against here. I don't have any leverage because Putin doesn't care if his people starve. He doesn't care if inflation's running 20% in Russia. He cares about himself.
That's all fine. The bottom line for me, though, is what do the Ukrainians have to give up? What do you say they should give up?
I don't say they should give up anything. What they'll have to give up is about 15% of their country. And if they don't, then the war will continue. Because nobody can make Putin stop unless you attack him militarily, and other countries are not willing to do that.
Bill, last time you were on, or one of the last times, we talked about somehow or another, you swerved into Jake Tapper. It's stunning to me. What have you said about it? That Tapper puts out a book saying, why didn't we see what was going on with Biden when he was one of the principal people that covered it up?
You know what I think about that man, right?
Yeah, Tapper? Okay. Yeah.
All right. So I'm not in the business to insult him on anybody's program, but I've made it quite clear what I think of him. He is not unusual. I call it opportunism. He understands the culture where he works. The culture is left wing at CNN. He understands what his bosses want to hear. He gives them exactly what they want to hear. And then when it all goes south and Trump wins, then he goes, can I make money off this? Yeah. I'll write a book that, Biden got away with all this, Anybody buying that book is a total moron. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Come on.
I saw making millions off it. If this sells 10,000.
He's not making millions.
Yeah, right. If it sells 10,000 copies, 5,000 copies, I'll kind of be surprised.
He'll be lucky. His novel sold about 3,000 copies, Tapper.
Right.
I sell 3,000 copies in an hour. My book, Confronting the President, has been on the New York Times bestseller list for 6 consecutive months. Okay, so it's not like Tapper's got any cachet. He doesn't. He's an opportunist. And some moron paid him, what, $8.95 to write this stupid book about Biden.
Yeah. So, Bill, what's on your mind right now with the Trump administration? We talked about Putin, et cetera. How do you see it going with Elon Musk? Are he and Trump still in, you know, using each other effectively? Is something happening there?
I don't know. I don't really talk to the president about Mr. Musk, and I don't know Musk very well. I've had a couple of interactions with him. I think the fair thing to do is to give this Doge 6 months, see what they can come up with. I think that's fair, right? You got to downsize the government. You have to.
I think they're coming up. They're coming up with a lot. They are exposing things that you and I have talked about over the years, but now it's resonating.
Yeah, but the fact is that this is what they say they're uncovering. We have to see it in an audit to know it's true.
Right.
And the audit, I don't know when it's going to come out on these various agencies that wasted our money. Do I think they wasted our money? Yes. Do I believe that Trump is doing the right thing in trying to downsize the federal government? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe that most federal employees are devoted liberals? Yes. And that needs to be changed. These people have to represent all of us, not just the left wing.
Exactly. So, Bill, where do we go for this initial burst? I hope to be there. Westbury, Connecticut, the famous music fair
there.
Yeah,
we got your tickets. You just get with my, if you're coming up, we got you all settled. Look, anybody down in the Philly area, it's Sunday, March 30th. There's no football. The Flyers aren't very good. The Sixers aren't very good.
They're horrible.
Okay? The Phillies are coming back. They'll be okay. Get in the car. Get your tickets ahead of time. Get good seats. Zoom on up the Jersey Turnpike. It's a lovely drive. There's actually three trees between Philadelphia and New York City. There's three. I mean, and they're lovely. They're blooming this time
right.
of year.
Oh, right. I agree.
Right. You zip over the George Washington Bridge, and you cruise on into Long Island, and it's a fun night. And then I'll give Giordano some restaurant recommendations after the show. He can pass it on to you, and you'll have a blast. So it's the Three Americans Live Tour. You got Ticketmaster. You got BillO'Reilly.com. You got ThreeAmericansLive.com. You got Westbury Music Fair. So we hope to see everybody down there. And, you know, Philly people are feisty. We want a good audience. Ask us good questions.
We will do so, Bill. We'll see you that night, March 30th. Thank you, Bill, very much.
Always a pleasure, Dom. Thanks for
having
me in.
All right, Bill O'Reilly. All right, Henry, you think you might be interested. I don't know how many tickets I can finagle here. I'm working on it already, but Stephen A. Smith and O'Reilly.
Yeah.
What's Chris Cuomo doing there? I mean, come on.
He's just
bump on a lock.
Silence.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
a blank look on his face.
O'Reilly's going to be the timekeeper on who's talking too much.
Oh boy. God.
All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. I'm in agreement with him on the debate, you know, on that type of thing. Come on. Wouldn't you like to see Larry Krasner in the chair opposite me? Jim Kenney? Oh my God. We could do hour after hour after hour. We'd all be exhausted. Chris Christie. That'd be my favorite. Christie.
Oh, boy.
Given the previous one. No, in studio, though. I predict first 5 minutes. That's it. Over top of the tables.
Oh, I'd say the first two questions.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hit us on the side question. 855-839-1210. All right. Tom Giordano Show. By the way, a film we forgot. Gene Hackman plays the Secretary of Defense. I mentioned it one day with Henry and Dan, who had not seen it. No Way Out with the young Kevin Costner, because we were talking about the Pentagon.
I didn't realize he was in that.
Yeah, he's the Secretary of Defense. Huh. He's the one with the hottie that, I won't say any more that's, you know, giveaway there. But that's the girlfriend, and she's also dating Costner, who is an ensign or something in the Navy. Intelligence inside the Pentagon. Hackman's really good as a bad guy in this. But the two biggies to me are Hoosiers and French Connection. I think that's who he won the Academy Award for. 855-839-1210. So that's the side question. You heard O'Reilly. Can you imagine that taking a look? I don't know how Cuomo fits in there at Great Debate. You know, O'Reilly and Bill Maher would be more what I'd like to see. You know, that would be an interesting, because Bill Maher is not a progressive. He's a liberal. O'Reilly is a moderate conservative that poses as an independent. That's what it comes down
to.
Yeah.
Does Bill get to spark up before this debate? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But Araldo and Bill, now that's real debate. All right, let's kick it off with that. By the way, 1 o'clock, we are going to talk with the Deputy Communications Department at the White House about inside some of the stuff going on, the new voices they're going to put in there, what's going on with the AP, that type of stuff. I told you yesterday, a large part of it is to get more Americans who don't pay attention to these news conferences at the White House hearing from voices that channel it in a different way, podcast and the bro podcasters and YouTube and things of that nature versus the New York Times. It makes it more interesting, more accessible. It's a brilliant idea. We'll talk with them about how they're executing that. That's coming up. Marsha Blackburn says today is phase one. I don't know why they're doing it in phase one to put out the Epstein files. I'm not sure what the delay is. Anything's possible with this. They better put them out today. after saying they would, but it's only phase one. But it'll give us some sense of who's involved here in different ways. There's a lot of redacting because of the victims. Alan Dershowitz, who was the attorney of sorts for Epstein, he'll be on the show at noon tomorrow once we apparently have more information. You don't want to miss that one. I know he wants to talk about it publicly. I don't know what we'll learn today about his involvement, non-involvement in it, but he'll be here at noon tomorrow. All right, Gary in Newtown on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dom. How are you?
Good, Gary.
In light of Gene Hackman and his sad passing, I really think he was an awesome guy. I was in tears watching when he was the basketball coach. And in Stitches in Pants, Stitches in My Pants or My Gut, when in the movie The Replacements, he wasn't funny.
Right.
But he was as good as a coach in that movie. And it's a rom-com movie. I mean, my wife likes the movie. I love the movie. I belly laugh when the cheerleaders are on the sideline doing what they're doing. And when Keanu Reeves is in at the game or at the stadium at night, they're two together. And there's a scene where Keanu says, "Why me, coach?" And he says, "I see two men in front of me, the guy who used to be and the guy I can see succeeding," basically surmising that. And he does, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I like the film. I agree with you, Gary. Very good scene, and I like Hackman in it. 855-839-1210. All right, we'll go to the White House to talk about all this stuff that they're doing to change how the news is presented, how the analysis is presented. And as I said, I think this is going to be a big hit. We're also going to go to Charleroi, Pennsylvania. Remember that? Small town, inundated by people coming from Haiti. Just yesterday, the guy pled guilty to bringing them here illegally, to profiting off all this, evading taxes, etc. And when we had them on during the throes of the election, they were under fire. They're just racists. Why don't they get it that these people belong, you know, the whole deal. So we'll talk with them a little bit more about that. Get in on the side question, too. And if you want to give us a little flavor of the scene, jump into it. Oh, I almost forgot. Yeah, Cool Hand Luke, because I do that. My bad impression of that. Is it Struthers, the guy that plays the warden? You run once, you're going to get one set of chains. You run twice, you're going to get another set of chains. You're not going to run a third time. Well, Dan's not here to critique that, but Paul Newman as the and George Kennedy, really good film. That's a great scene. All right, 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.